Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. It's always our delight to have you on board. Looking forward to the dialogue and discussion, your Q&A. This broadcast is set up and designed on the basis that you're informed, you ask the questions, we respond to the questions. We deal with issues, ladies and gentlemen, biblical issues. Those issues include, but not exclusively, but include anything about the home, the family, the church, theology, doctrine, the political arena called government. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, God created three institutions. That was the home and government and the church, and in that order. So anything that you find Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation would be one of those three categories. And we discuss those because so much of the time there's a fear in the air, and it's increasingly so, a fear in the air to talk about biblical, theological, doctrinal things. In fact, I'm finding more and more from the standpoint of even the general public are fearful of talking about theological, doctrinal, biblical, political, social issues, especially when it comes to the Wuhan China virus, the mask mandate, and the rapidly coming vaccination mandate, forced vaccinations. We're watching, ladies and gentlemen, the big picture being narrowed down to a much smaller picture of what is taking place on a global basis and in America. And it's all as a result of what I call God-haters. God-haters. There's a total disdain, a total animus toward, a complete hatred for anything that's God, godly, the church, the pastors, the Christians in general. And in particular, ladies and gentlemen, on a general secular level, even the patriotic movement and the conservatives in America, more and more hated than any time I've ever seen in my lifetime, would have never really dreamed it would happen as we're seeing it take place. So we're going to be talking about God haters in the broadcast today. It's a very, very broad subject because that's a very broad issue. But we're going to try to trickle down, narrow down, and point out to you some of the things that we see that's very visible and what is taking place. But may I remind us, when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. We look at the Word of God. For example, in the Scripture, the Bible is very clear that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following, that perilous times shall come. God said it. And that's thousands of years ago when it was written. The word perilous means dangerous, dark, devastating, difficult, deadly. And we're in those days, ladies and gentlemen. We need to recognize that God's Word, pre-written history, telling us exactly what's going to take place and what the future will look like. So it need not shock us, though I must admit to you that I am continually dismayed by some of the things that we see happening, unfurling, unfolding, and becoming real before our eyes today in the society in which we're living in America, where we're watching what I call no holds barred, attitude of theft, moral degeneracy, and lying and deceit that seems to be the top of the day in all that's done and said, especially when it comes to the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party. There seems to be no sense of integrity when it comes to what they do. But that's part of the perilous times that we need to recognize that we're in those days. Perilous times shall come. And without doing a disservice to the Scripture, perilous times have come. We're here today. They're here today. We're watching them today. And we see that, ladies and gentlemen. But may I remind us, we need to stick to the truth. It's the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inner word of God. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, as he's speaking to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. It's continuing in the word of God. That's one of the indelible determiners of whether or not we're truly disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you continue, constantly stay in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. What are some of the fruits of that? And you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. It's the truth of the word of God that sets us free. And though today we're finding bondage upon bondage, and that which is continuing to escalate with the bringing about the bondage of free citizens in America, we can stay in the word and know that we have real freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Jesus himself in John 14, 6 that said, I am truth. And then further he states in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God. It's the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that we need to stand on today. And I plead with you each day to recognize that need. The secularist George Orwell, many years ago, I believe it's in the 40s, that he wrote the novel, 1984, and he pointed out things that would be projected as he saw them for 1984. He missed the mark a little, but we're finding it coming about in the day in which we're living in, even today. But as George Orwell, many years ago, in that circle of writing and influence in his era, it said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching that take place in live action today with Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, and his entire group. By the way, have you noticed with Joe Biden, all of those proposed appointments for his cabinet are simply the scabs from the Obama administration? If Joe Biden is sworn into office, it will simply become the third Obama term as president, the third term of Barack Hussein Obama as the president of the United States of America. It's very evident, even as I speak. But ladies and gentlemen, what we need to stand on is truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made a very powerful statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's what I pray that you're willing to do. I find very few people, though, if I can say this as a little parenthetical footnote, find very few people, very few Christians, that are willing to stand for truth even if it means dying for truth. And I believe what we're going to see, if I can simply fast forward and say this at this juncture, I believe what we're going to see, and I believe it will be in your lifetime and mine, before the rapture of the churches takes place and the church is lifted out, I believe we're going to see a major need for Christians to stand for truth, to be able to stand, even if it means dying, to stand for the truth of the Word of God. And that's what I'm calling on us to do each day as you listen to this broadcast. By the way, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion on that which we're talking about today. We're talking about God haters. So I might ask a question at this juncture. Have you seen any evidence of Christian persecution, Christian prosecution, or what I would simply call God hating, those that hate God, and as a result of that, it's taken out on the church, it's taken out on the pastors, it's taken out on Christians, and it's evident God haters that we're seeing across America in the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party and the governors and the mayors therein across America. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo, Tools for Time carries a full line of Honda generators for hurricane preparedness and backup equipment. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about landscape equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's at 11291, Old St. Augustine Road, the home of Tools for Time. You'll find it. Latest image at the base of that gigantic flagpole. Old Glory flying 24/7, 165-foot flagpole with a gigantic flag. Find that flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we've watched over a year now, almost a year. We've watched with absolute horror, as I would call it. We have watched our mayors and governors and political elitists, as they have mandated to basically mandate how we should live, where we can go, where we cannot go, what we can do, how long we can stay, including the mass mandate and the complete lockdown of our businesses and our churches and all of our modes of commerce, have all been locked down, been absolutely eviscerated, destroyed during the course of this year. And now, ladies and gentlemen, those same elitist government big brother bureaucrats are telling us if and when and where and how we can worship. Now, I don't know of anything that's any more egregious. It's bad enough for business to be locked down. It's bad enough to see right now approaching 200,000 people that have died as a result of drug overdose, alcohol abuse, or as a result of simply a total depletion of anything that's called encouragement or hope, take their own lives. We've had a great, in my most humble opinion, listen carefully, I believe we've had greater harm to society in the death of those as a result of the COVID lockdowns, as a result of the COVID hysteria and fear. We've had a greater number of lives lost as a result of a simple depression, a depletion of hope, a sense of hopelessness and helplessness. I believe the cure, if you will, that they have implemented in America has produced greater harm than good for society in which we're living in. I find it egregious when you'll have airliners, ladies and gentlemen, that will kick a couple off a plane because of a two-year-old that refused to wear a mask. And now that's the way they're presenting it on television as of this morning, as though the news just broke. Ladies and gentlemen, that happened a month ago, early November, when the article says, mother and a two-year-old son allegedly booted from Southwest flight after the toddler ate snacks without a mask on. Southwest Airlines flight attendants allegedly kicked a single mother and her two-year-old son off of a flight recently after the toddler ate snacks before takeoff without wearing a mask. And it goes on to give great detail about that. Now, it's very well possible that a second event identical to that has taken place that's unknown to me. But I believe it's the same news break that they're talking about today, because especially on Fox News, they've been so detracted with trying to protect their viewership, as well as continue to lie to the public about President Trump's presidency and who should win the election, and the false narrative that Joe Biden is the president-elect, and there's no such thing as president-elect, ladies and gentlemen. He doesn't even have the 270 electoral college votes to put him in the position of being a president-elect. But that's another story for another day. We've talked about that numerous times on this broadcast. But, ladies and gentlemen, I find it egregious that we live in a society where an airline, and more airlines are doing that, most of the airlines today, in fact, if you do not wear a mask, you cannot get on the plane. If you're on the plane, you take your mask off, even for eating, evidently, you're going to get kicked off the plane. What I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, we've been watching now for almost a year, the desensitizing, listen carefully, what I call the desensitizing of the general populace for what's coming next. No, the mask mandate is not the final thing. The forced vaccinations will not be the final thing that we see. What we're watching is the setting of the stage, the desensitization of society for Big Brother governmental control of every aspect of our lives. That's where we're headed. That's what we're faced with today. And yet, regardless of what we see on the socialist network news, the communist network news, regardless of what we hear about CNN collaborators that saw lockstep with the socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party, lockdowns have no effect on bringing about herd immunity. I'm just now hearing, ladies and gentlemen, herd immunity being spoken by CDC and by Dr. Fauci, by Joe Biden and others, that we need to reach herd immunity. And that comes about, listen carefully, and don't want to take a lot of time on this, but simply tying up the loose ends for your understanding. Herd immunity, what is herd immunity? Let me just illustrate it. First of all, let me say this. It was one of the physicians that said, as he was serving with President Trump on the task force for the Wuhan China virus, Dr. Atlas. Dr. Atlas has preached and proclaimed and required and stated that we needed to have herd immunity in America. And the way you have herd immunity is let the virus run its course and it will soon dissipate. Picture this. You've got 100 people. One person has a virus, the flu, a cold, some type of influenza, or COVID. You let that one person, unless he is ill enough to be in a hospital, you let that one person remain in society. You don't lock him down. You don't quarantine him. You don't keep him set aside in a dark room someplace, as we're practicing today, which I believe is an absolute heathen approach to anything called society. But you let that person go. And eventually, there are going to be enough people that will get the enzymes, to get the little small trickle-down of that virus, that you have that virus immunity called herd immunity. Picture that if it had taken place a year ago, 9 months ago, 8 months ago, 7 months ago, if that had been allowed as Dr. Atlas had said would be needed, we wouldn't have the major need for the vaccine today as it is being pushed. But here's the point. Both Moderna and Pfizer are saying that we need to get at least 75% of the American populace vaccinated to bring about herd immunity. Herd immunity is now herd in the sense of the leftist, Marxist, socialist, democratic media. They're talking about herd immunity, and that herd immunity could have already been reached and beyond that, so that we would see a total wave having come and gone of the Wuhan China virus. But because we've shut it up, because we've quarantined it, because we've locked it down, we're now seeing every time there's the unlocking, it has a major spike. I'm thankful that in the state of Florida, we've not seen idiocy on the part of the governor's office where he believes in the lockdown approach. In fact, the governor's office has never had a mask mandate. We've got an empty suit called a mayor here in the city of Jacksonville that continues with his 30-day mask requirement or his mask recommendation that's causing prosecution and persecution and a sense of hysteria and fear on the part of the citizens in Jacksonville when lockdowns and mask mandates have never worked. Here's an article that says three studies show that lockdowns are totally ineffective at even slowing down coronavirus. Across America and Europe, many governmental officials are resuming lockdowns and tightening restrictions in the face of the rising COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. The collateral damage of lockdowns, which has been well documented, includes widespread poverty, depression, bankruptcy, unemployment, and suicides. Meanwhile, the benefits of lockdowns remain murky at the best. And it goes on to talk about three major studies that have taken place, and out of the three major studies, they have proven that lockdowns do not work, proven that lockdowns are absolutely ineffective, but yet we continue to have that push in America. And may I simply fast forward and say this. What we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, is a global endeavor. It is a international endeavor for the one world governance, and for a one world order to take place, there must be a total place of dictatorial control over the citizens in America and around the globe. We're watching that take place. And in the midst of that, ladies and gentlemen, because a global governance cannot take place unless there's an apostasy, the falling away from the church, and there's that forced closure of the churches, that forced apostasy that is because of God-haters, because of those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ, those that hate anything that's called Christian and church and pastors, morals and ethics and values and biblical truth. I believe we have Joseph on the line. Go over your question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor, the perilous times have definitely gotten here. There's a lot of God haters out there, a lot of carnality, and not just sexual stuff. There's unrestrained malice and vindictiveness, especially on the internet. People feel free to let loose with perverse profanity, obscenity. I think part of it's because it's not a face-to-face communication, but all of it is evidence of bad fruit. And, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We're getting close to that. And corruption and violence are increasing. So all of these are signs of the nearness of the rapture, which is the first stage of the second coming.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. In fact, you go back to the Genesis 6 text that you alluded to. Every thought and intent was on evil and wickedness, and that's the reason the earth was destroyed by the flood. And we're finding, as the scripture says, Matthew 24, that it will be as in the days of Noah, will be in the last days before the church, the society is over, the church is raptured out. And we're finding that today, just as you've said so eloquently spoken, that we're finding that taking place today. And it points to the ultimate act of God, when God will snatch us out as the body of Christ, the believers. There'll be 7 years of tribulation, then Jesus Christ himself will return. But we need to recognize that we're living in a day that the scripture talks about in relationship to hating the church and hating Christians. Jesus said, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. It's found in John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, verses 19 and 20. So you're exactly right, Joseph. Thank you so much for your input, for your call, and for your good insight, biblically speaking. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over with the question or comment. Hello.
Hello. Hey. I guess I'm on the air with you now. I'm calling.
Yes, you are.
southern tip of heaven. Everything was it was in and out on the volume, so I wasn't sure when you might come to me. I understand that you had a fantastic Jesus birthday celebration last evening. Is that the case?
Yes, we did. I am thankful for it. We had some wonderful singing. We had an opportunity to have a happy birthday celebration for Jesus, a gigantic Jesus birthday cake, slicing the cake, some good finger food, wonderful, tremendous fellowship. Had some good singing around the Christmas tree with the some of the kids singing. A little sweetheart about 3 years old just really, lifted the rafters when she was singing I Love You, Jesus, and Happy Birthday, Jesus. It was a wonderful, wonderful celebration. As you know, Greg, we've been doing that for about 32, 33 years now at our church, and I'm thankful for that. It's always something that's unique, especially for those that have never participated in a Jesus birthday celebration. We had a number of folks with us last evening that had never been in that type of celebration, and I am so thankful for it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with one of our four sons, and I don't say one of my four sons, but one of our. My bride corrected me a number of years ago, and I've never forgotten it. She said, it's our sons, not yours, it's ours.
So, because she said, I had a little something to do with that. Didn't
you got that.
Didn't I?
So this is Greg, our number three son. As he says, he's up in the southern tip of heaven there in Tennessee. Of course, when it gets ice cold, snow on the ground, and sleet and rain, I don't know that I would call that a tip of heaven, but he does. Greg,
right.
Thanks so much for taking time. We're talking about God haters and what we're seeing in relationship to that. In fact, Greg, I've got an article, and I'll touch on that and then get some of your thoughts. It says the U.S., that's the United States, is in the middle of a battle of good versus evil. This is Michael Flynn, General Flynn. Retired Army Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, the former Director of National Intelligence, said the United States is in the very middle of a battle of good versus evil. The battle we are engaged in cannot be fought with only human weapons. It requires the intervention of God because it is a war against the forces of evil. Only the Lord can obtain the victory, Flynn wrote in his op-ed published December the 10th. And as American citizens, we must refuse to go to the funeral of our own independence, he added. I thought that was a profound statement. We the people are proud to proclaim that the United States of America is one nation under God. We do not want a world government by tyrants whom no one has elected and who want to have power in order to destroy us, Flynn wrote in his article. Quote, we understand that their plan is to eliminate dissent, subdue any criticism, outlaw those who do not submit unconditionally to the dictatorship of the New World Order. Now, Greg, I don't think that I could have put that any more succinctly and any clearer than General Flynn has placed it. And that's as a result of his full recognition in 4 years of what the system can do as they tried to eviscerate him because of the knowledge that he had about the Barack Hussein Obama's administration. And as you have called it and I have called it, he knows where all of the bodies are buried, and they wanted to destroy the man. They tried to destroy his integrity and tried to take his life, his livelihood, and his freedom. So what we're seeing is the indications and every turn that we make of what I call God haters, those that hate God and that will do anything to destroy the Word of God, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Christians in society, in our nation. Speak to that issue. What are your thoughts on what I've just said?
Well, first off, we're right here in the midst of still election season. I mean, November 3rd, and we're December 13th, 14th here. My goodness. We're over a month past the election, and still, though you have a lot of folks, I mean, it seems like all the networks, including Fox News, keep saying president-elect, and you go, the Electoral College hasn't met yet, and there are dozens and dozens and dozens of outstanding lawsuits. And the election's not over with, folks. It sounds crazy. But the same folks that for 4 years challenged the legitimacy of and sought to attack, to destroy, to tear down the Trump administration, those same individuals say, we ought to all come together in unity now. Well, just, you know, Trump needs to concede. Understand, folks, if Trump concedes, all these issues go away. And there's a fellow online talking about how, you know, we need this unity now. We can have this unity under Biden. Do they not understand how we got where we are today? It was through the vicious assault on men like Flynn. It was the vicious assault on Trump for years. And now the vicious assault on election integrity. You have folks right now today screaming, oh, they're trying to overturn the election. No, they're not trying to overturn an election. They're seeking to restore election integrity. For any of you folks out there listening today, if you think this is not important, you ask those folks in Venezuela if election integrity is important. When Hugo Chavez came to office, it was through major manipulation and fraud. Those people.
It was through the Dominion voting system that we have that's just destroyed this election that we're in today.
It sure seems like that is probably a component, but it goes far, far, far beyond. It was clearly articulated the other day. We're not dealing with five or six states. We're dealing with maybe six or seven cities in which apparently extremely high levels of fraud and corruption, and ballot harvesting and ballot theft and recounting of ballots, you know, all that took place on top of what I believe is probably a Dominion voting system issue. Matter of fact, today in Michigan before a court, they're asking, they have 14, I believe, Dominion voting machines and the related thumb drives, and I'm not sure if they got one of the machines or not, but IT professionals have been doing an audit, a review of every single line of code and detail and the vote. Now, when the judge ordered that be allowed, that be done, he also put in an order that prevents them from saying anything. They're before that same court today asking, judge, release this order. This is a matter of national security. These things are
Greg,
important.
Greg, hold your thought there for a moment. We're going to take a top-of-the-hour news break for about 1 minute. So, Greg, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues right after the top-of-the-hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.